Welcome back to Behind the Play. My name is Alex Adams, and I'm joined by one of our favorite guests on this show, Ross Levitan of the Locked On Senators podcast. We're missing your partner in crime and Brandon Pillar, which we'll have on a later show. But what's it like just being solo without your best friend, your pod brother, I guess is the right way to describe it.
Well, I'm not alone. I'm here with you. And funny you say that, Alex. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I want to say we're the most
You are.
recurring
You're at
guests.
six. You're at six. You're
We
killing
like that. So that's awesome. And
it.
it's great to see the growth of the show. Every time we come on, you're hitting milestones, and that's awesome. What I will say is this summer, we finally broke the streak where Pilsy and I did every single episode together, no matter what, no matter where, we would find a way to make it work. This summer, we worked smarter, not harder. I thought that after the postcast of 82 out of 82, I think we did 80 actually, postcast and a daily show, we're like, you know what? Let's do some pre-recorded things, and that way we're both on every episode, but then one of us would either do a segment or that sort of thing. So for the first time, I just sat in front of a microphone and a camera and just talked to myself. It was surprisingly a little bit easier than I thought from the standpoint that you just wind me up and get me going, but I certainly prefer to have Pilsy on the show when we do Locked On Sens, but I'm excited to chat with you, man. This will be fun.
It's gonna be a fun episode. Was there a moment from the summer just for you, Pilsy, for the show that kind of sticks out for you after, it's we're hitting September, training camp's coming, but what was the summer like for you?
Summer was awesome. We got to go to the draft. So that being in Vegas, staying at the Venetian, which was attached to the Sphere where the draft was, getting to have Ian Mendez and Scott Wheeler come up to our room and do a live show. Just things that when we started the podcast would have just been so far-fetched to even think possible, and being able to experience things in person, right? We started the show during COVID, basically, even before actually, but really picked it up during COVID, and it was so much Zooms and this and that. So to actually sit down, do live interviews and that sort of thing really gets me excited. And obviously the draft is such a spectacle where it's like, the way I describe it, it's like a Disney World for hockey fans. Like, it's not one team, right? You go into any arena during the season, that home team is dominant with the jerseys and all that. This is like a who's who. It's like a convention, right? Where it's so many different people from all over the place gathering to celebrate the best day of these kids' lives, getting drafted to the NHL. So the draft, obviously spectacular. I'd highly recommend people going to that. And then it's just been a matter of keeping up with all the change from Steve Staios and the Ottawa Senators. We have our color-coded depth chart now, where I was just curious to see, like, how much turnover in the entire organization on the ice has there been in 1 year? And it's uncanny, like, it's a lot. So I think that change gets you excited. And then just being able to kind of, take a step off being so serious in the season. Not that we're always serious, but in the off season, you can kind of have some more fun, whether it's interviews or we do this Ring of Honor where we just draft our favorite team. So summer was great, Alex, but when September comes, when the long weekend's over, Labor Day, and the nights start getting colder, like, it's time for hockey. It's that time of year.
It's time for wins too, hopefully as
Yeah.
well. But with that, just maybe on the summer, you guys are always so great at interviewing, up and coming prospects. Was there one interview throughout the summer that maybe you'd want Sens fans or like a personality that you think Sens fans might fall in love with?
Well, yeah, if you haven't heard of Brady Tkachuk, he's probably the guy this summer. Like, we love doing the prospect interviews, especially because I find like there's not enough coverage on them. And whether it's Hoyt Stanley, who's just the nicest kid, the guy pulled an Alfie and a Carlson jersey out of his closet while we were
Crazy.
talking with him, which is so cool because he's a Vancouver kid too.
Yeah.
But I love doing the prospect ones. But for us to be able to get Brady on, it was a white whale for us. We've got a few others. So if you can find Danny Heatley, Daniel Alfredson, Chris Neal, among others, would be probably
Where
three
is
of the.
Elfie again? I don't know.
Yeah, he should be a guy that we might be able to get on. Who knows? Stay tuned. But working our way through some white whales, I think, is very exciting for us guys. When we started the show, circled, like, if we could ever get that person on the show, would be great. Shelly Kettles is someone I want to get on to, the
She's
skating
great.
whisperer,
Yes.
as well. So still lots of goals that we want to get, but getting the captain, active captain on the show was awesome. And not this is pretty like insignificant in the grand scheme of things, but I've been saving it to start season six. We're gonna redo. People kind of associate the young Tim Stützle, the young Jake Sanderson leading us into Locked On Sens every day. Those are gone at the start of the season. October 1st, it's getting replaced. And I've been holding on to it since July, Alex. We've got Brady Tkachuk
awesome.
Setting up Locked On Sens. We just have to change the vibe a little bit, right? Jake, Timmy, they were there for 3 years. Both of those guys were three Ottawa Senators players when they did that for us. So it's time to change it up. And hopefully any little thing that we can do, Alex, as fans, to change the voodoo around the organization, we're going to take it upon ourselves to do it. So credit to us, and hopefully we have a good year.
Do you feel that just with this team, that there is that different sense around? Like, I mean, I was, you know, at, you know, Steyos and Allmark's unveiling. There is a lot of different people behind the scenes. You know, there's way more, an influx of way more people that the Senators have hired as well. Does it feel like finally the ship has sailed, and that, you know, maybe that old owner and everything that kind of happened then, that era is kind of done, and now we're in the Steve Steyos and Lauer kind of the new version of the Senators?
Yeah, I certainly feel that. Now, I do want to be careful to an extent, because until we see it on the ice, I mean, every team, you hear the old classic cliches, best shape of my life, and we have so much hope, we have high expectations, and only half the teams make the playoffs overall. So there's always going to be, let's say, 10 really disappointed teams and 6 teams who kind of know they're in the rebuild and they're kind of not really competing for a playoff spot. Ottawa's not one of those 6 teams. The fan base is going to be really upset if this isn't a team playing meaningful games down the stretch. So I like the moves in terms of bringing in that experience, that leadership, guys who are coming from winning cultures, whether it's Boston, whether it's guys who won the cup before and David Perron, Michael Amadio. So I like that concept. I'm curious to see how it works and how it pushes the core pieces that were here before to get better, because that internal growth from Stützle, Tkachuk, Norris, Batherson, and obviously on the back end, Shabbat and Sanderson, that's the core of your team. How they go is how the team goes, and that's, to me, going to be the biggest question going into the year.
How much do you think maybe this team is, you know, having those veterans in place allows for those young players to, you know, who are not all so young now, like they're now in their kind of mid-20s in Sanderson, Stützle, Tkachuk, Batherson, Norris as well, that they can kind of surround them, put that imprint? Like, how important do you think is that veteran leadership that Steve Steyos has been banging on about all summer?
Oh, I think it's super critical, especially when you're coming from maybe an organization that was on the wrong side of that scale before. So to even just get it back to baseline, I think, is pretty important. Otherwise, getting it to that, quote, best-in-class mentality, it's going to be a couple levels beyond that. But these aren't things that can change overnight, right, Alex? So I think what you have to do is have expectations, but also understand the process to getting there. And that's where I think I spent some time thinking, because when you're in the thick of it, when it's like you go out west and you come back 0-5-0, and you finish the year 1-14-1 outside of the Eastern time zone, like, I should say west, because obviously they got those wins in Sweden, but it was just so unbelievable that when you're in the thick of it night after night, day after day, it's pretty tough. But then you think about it, like, okay, there was a lot of change, and how much time is reasonable to assume that you can change the direction of an organization? I'm hopeful. Ann Lauer saying all the right things. The new owner was on TSN 1200 for like a half hour. Fantastic interview. Like, really refreshing. And I think that mentality is going to go far. Even just like last point I'll make on this and the changes, we talk about the players, we talk about the management. That all makes sense. They're the front facing. They're the people that are going to change this around. But the investment that is being made in the workout facilities, the medical room, that's what's going to make Ottawa get off the joke, always on a trade list thing. It's how you treat your players. And we've heard players come out and say, we're getting cold quesadillas under a heat lamp after the game. Like, players talk, and it's such a small league that if you want to be the best and have great players that want to play for you, you need facilities to do that. And don't get me started on the rink. We'll be here all day.
I was going to say, because that is something that, you know, we'll see what happens, but
it'll still be 4 or 5 years though. Yeah. Like, I think that he understands that. And that's why they're making the decision to upgrade their current facilities as well, which, like, I love the rink. I think it's very, like, There's not a bad seat in the house. I think that it's a really nice rink from that standpoint, but it was made in 95. Like, it's one of the most dated rinks
I
in the
heard it's the
league.
second oldest rink in the league, and I almost fell off my chair.
Well, it will be, I think, because Calgary's, I think, older, if not like
I
right
think
around.
it's just those two are the oldest.
Well, Madison Square Garden, but that's kind of like in a world of itself, right?
Yeah,
They have
because
all the
they did do
renovations and
renovate
that.
it. It's
Yeah.
yeah, that is a. Have you ever been around Ann Lauer at all? Because
No, I haven't. I've never met him.
he is like the most. I mean, I have only been around one billionaire, and that is Michael Ann Lauer. But he seems like the most like chill, down to earth dude that you'll ever see, and he cares. And I think what's great to see, just with, you talk about like the investment, like he's gonna invest in the team, he's gonna invest in the fans. Like it's just gonna be such a, it might not translate on the ice, but I think at least for fans to feel like they're wanted, that they're cared for, is kind of part of it. And then, you get more butts in the seats, more people, kind of following the team, might maybe helps a couple wins here and there. But just overall, I think the team is going in the right direction, but I don't know what it will be like on the ice this season. And I guess with that, for you, Ross, is this a bit of a make or break year for this team, because the core has been together for so long? Like, let's say they come out of the gates terribly, as they've done every freaking year. Don't make the playoffs, aren't really in the hunt. Like, is this where like big moves have to kind of be made, kind of a la the Leafs, where they've been staying with the core, but probably should have moved on from it as well?
Yeah, no, it's a fair question. I just don't want to get too far ahead of myself. I think training camp starts in 8 days. I think they're on the
That's
ice on the
fair. Yeah.
19th, and I think that there is something to be said for the group that is here. They're all good players. A lot of them were really high draft picks for a reason. And I think that, look, you've changed the coach now for the first time under
Yep.
these guys. I like Bria, sure, Brady had a cup of coffee with Guy Boucher, an espresso shot with Mark Crawford, but really DJ Smith's been the coach for this team from day one until midway through last year. So this is the first training camp they're going to have with a non-DJ Smith coach for Timmy, for Jake, for those types of players. So I think that, yeah, this is the biggest change that they've made, let alone the goalie, but they've been flopping goalies over and over and over and over. But I think the coach is going to make a huge difference. So basically I'm telling you, I want to see these players under this coach. But yeah, if they're disappointing again, and if there's no hope again, I mean, yeah, that's the next logical step, is you're gonna have to break up the core, which is pretty, like you're talking about in Toronto, breaking up a core that's been top three in the division for 6, 7 straight years. It would be pretty asinine to have a team that can't get out of 21st or 28th or 29th. So I'm hopeful that it won't. I do feel like the tie now, playoffs, different question. There's a lot of teams that are gonna be right there, but Ottawa needs to be sniffing around later in the season.
Did you see the Travis Green's, hot starts in Vancouver, and you're like, this is why we get he's the perfect coach just for the good starts. Like, is that almost the key to their season, is to not fall behind the eight ball like they've done in years prior?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you right now, Pilsy and I are going to be tracking the first 28 games of this season as 7-game playoff series. We're playing 4 7-game playoff series to start the year. So if you're a Sens fan and you're like, wow, they haven't made the playoffs in 7 years, well, congratulations. October 10th is the first playoff game for the Ottawa Senators, and it's against the Stanley Cup champions. But I mean it when I say that. Like, if they can't win 4 out of every 7 games for the first 28 games of the season, I'm going to be very disappointed going into December.
That feels very fair. And I guess the big offseason move was Allmark, and he's just been such a joy for Sens fans. So fun, a great personality, introducing himself, saying that he can't speak French, but he wants to some of the fans. But how much do you, like, you talked about the goalie carousel that this team has had for years. Do you believe that like he's the right man at the right time? And I think you tweeted a couple days ago that you're hoping for that big, nice extension in like December, like 20th or whatever. Is that, just maybe your thoughts on Allmark and what he provides to this team?
Yeah, I mean, you just watch his highlight reel and it's pretty incredible. He's a much bigger, you can speak to it. You've been
He's
around him
big.
in
Yeah.
person. He's
He's
an
like 6
enormous
foot.
human being. And I think his reflexes, everything, but it's also his mindset, right? Like 90% of being a goalie is between the ears, and how do you let a bad goal just kind of brush off your back? And I think he seems to have that personality and mindset.
He literally said that last week. He said, you know, it's about the mentality, and I, you know, I want to save every puck, but I know I'm not perfect, and it's all about, you know, just being okay. And, you know, it's taken a long time for me. Like, he's literally saying all the right things that you don't really hear goalies verbalize all the time. But sorry, I cut you off.
No, all good. I think it's very important context for it. And I think with Linus Ullmark, like, the skill speaks for itself. I'm not expecting him to have a 938 save percentage and win the Vezina this year, but I do think that he can be a guy that provides 917 to 919, like somewhere in that range where you're in the top 10 goalies in the National Hockey League. I don't think that that's too much to ask for him. And I know that the questions, they're going to come from the media, and it makes sense, but I like the thought process of both Steve Steos and Linus Ullmark. Like, let's just allow our city to sell itself to Linus and our organization, going back to the new gym, the new medical facilities, all these things that when a player gets here, are they feeling taken care of? Is the family going to get jerseys and stuffies for the kids of SpartaCat? And, you know, like all these things that they don't count against the salary cap, how well you take care of your players. But it certainly does make a difference of how desirable a location is for your team. So I think Michael Andlauer understands that. I don't know if there's any organizations that treat their players better than in Montreal, where Andlauer had been for the last decade. So he gets it. And I think that that's going to be a big reason why, like, if you ask me, is he going to stay or not? I think it's, I'd say 80%, maybe even higher, that Ullmark signs an extension. It's also hard when you're 30 years old to turn down $40 million, which is what I think he's probably going to get on his next deal.
And
if it's like
what,
6 years?
6 years time, what's that, like seven-ish?
Seven-ish. I'm not a math guy. 40
it's okay.
divided.
I think it's like six and a half. We'll do it later.
6.67 would be 40. Six by 6.67 would be $40 million.
You are a math guy and a goalie guy. No, I'm kidding. No, that's right.
I'm a goalie guy.
You're a goalie guy. But with, and you know what, he shouted out the IKEA being close to his new house, so maybe that's the thing that secures him to staying in Ottawa. Maybe transitioning a little bit to the just the team on the ice and not just the goaltending position, but how do you feel about the forwards depth on this team heading into this season? Because there has been a lot of change outside of the core. They brought in Amadio, Perron. You know, hopefully Ridley Gregg has a, you know, another year under his belt. Shane Pinto can actually play 82 games. Like, just how do you feel about this team's forward group heading into the season?
I need to see it, honestly. Like, I'm feeling good about their top end talent. I've been banging the drum that, you know, Drake Batherson can be a point per game player. That was one of my hot takes going into last year. I still believe that to be a possibility. I think that he has so much talent that it's just about the little things. And I think that David Perron in particular is going to be a huge help for getting him there, because his biggest attribute is board battles and playing down low and extending offensive zone time. And those are areas where I think Drake has the talent, but sometimes he's too quick to want to make the quick play and you know, put a backhand saucer pass over there. And it's actually uncanny how often he can get those through, but sometimes the easier play is just holding on to pucks and making the other team tired. And I think that over the course of a game, that can help. So I think Drake Batherson, for me, is a player to watch up front, as almost like, look, the X factors are clear. Tim Stützle needs more than one power play goal this year. I'd like him to get about 20 times that amount. Brady Tkachuk, I just need him to stop fighting scrubs at the end of games.
I know.
I think it's just a tough look overall. And he's too, like, he's too tough and too talented, and he has too much of a stature to do that. Now, when he was a rookie, it was hilarious, but now it's like, okay, I love when he drops the mitts, like the Trouba fight, obviously. And if he's standing up for teammates, I get it. But we don't need to be fighting Tyson Tucker or whatever in St. Louis, okay?
Yeah.
Then you've got Josh Norris needs to stay healthy. Our Send Central Citizen today said 82 games for Josh Norris. That's a hot take. Piping
That's
hot
a
take.
Hot take.
And Drake Batherson, like, I need him to be a plus player. I know plus minus isn't everything, but he's a guy who's been ice cold in that respect. He took a big step forward after being a dash 30 2 years ago. But I think if he can be a plus player, Brady too, Never been a plus player above. I think he was plus one last year, if I'm not mistaken. But I think for me, like, these guys just need to maybe sacrifice a little bit offensively, some of them, to have that two-way game. Because I mean, there's no secret how the Senators have failed the last number of years. They can't keep the puck out of their net.
Yeah, no. And you know, in their own zone, they've been just terrible. I did feel as though the team did make some decent strides with Jacques Martin, but it would kind of ebbed and flowed. Some games they'd play well, and then the goaltending was
I mean,
awful
you're
too.
down 1-0, two shots into the game, 22 times.
Oh
Like,
my God, that is the craziest stat. That
and
is.
it's just like, it's not even just a goalie stat, but how deflating if you're on the bench.
Well, you're almost out of the game. Like, it
Yeah,
just.
well, you'd rather just start the game down 1-0 rather than have to go through the motions and be like, all right, how's he gonna let this one in? They're gonna float over his shoulder, backdoor tap in. What's it gonna be?
How much do you think of last year's problem, like, on the goaltending was
A
solely
lot.
on the goaltending? Do you
A
think
lot.
that's like the majority of the issues from last season?
Yeah, like, I go back to that Rangers game. I'm
Oh.
sure people remember that Kreider goal where he looked like he was doing just a flow drill in practice,
And
and he
he's
took a
like,
shot from the top of the hash marks. And look, if Korpisalo goes to Boston and his helmet fits him properly, I'm gonna snap. Like, I didn't understand that. His helmet was fitting down onto his eyes. Like, I don't know how he could see the puck. And like, it became like a running gag on Locked On Sens, but like, it's not that funny. Like, we'll just wear a helmet that fits. You'll see the puck. You'll stop the puck. So I don't know. They always talk about this goalie Bob guy in Boston being like some sort of whisperer, and he's one of the best coaches. Well, he's got his work cut out for him because he was all over the place. If you're a goalie, your number one job is to stop the puck. Duh. Number two is to give your team confidence when you're out there. And even the saves he was making were so athletic and not compact. Not like, think of Freddie Anderson and me as one of those, the best goalies where he's not even the most athletic, but he just, everything hits him like Velcro. And Korpisalo's rebound control is just so bad. I get angry talking about it because last year was, I can't believe they gave him a 5-year contract, but.
I can't believe Steve Staios got out of it too.
Yeah, with only holding 1 million, that is actually incredible.
That is honestly the first round pick for Allmark,
Yeah, no doubt.
almost like it. That was a pretty incredible trade, even if Allmark isn't here for a long time. But I guess with that, like, you know, with the forward group, like, how much do you like the kind of addition? Like, do you think if the Sens are to be successful this year, it's just that Tim Stützle is like a 100-point guy, or do you think the depth is maybe also, you know, finally put into place, unlike past couple of years where they really weren't getting much from their third and fourth line?
I think a lot more of the depth for me up front is going to be about leadership in the locker room and what they're adding in terms of just guys who have been there and done that. I think when it comes to winning games and putting up scores, that you're going to need your top guys to be just that. Like, I'm not expecting David Perron to be a 50, 60 point guy. I think he's going to be a 20 and 20, like a 40 point guy. So I think it is going to be on the top paying players, the guys who have been here. The guys who are the top power play unit, they need to be able to produce. So yeah, to me, that's the biggest thing. I think everything else, like whether they got David Perron or insert free agent B here, right? I don't think that it's moving the needle that much more. They had to add players. I know they traded Mathieu Joseph, and I do like the upgrade that Michael Amadio brings in that role. Joseph was, when he was on his game, was awesome. But one thing I think I said this the other day on Locked On Sens, but it's worth repeating. All the players they got rid of from last year, they brought inconsistent efforts. When they were good, they were really good. Chychrun
Joseph.
and Joseph most notably. But these guys might not have the highs that those players have, but they're certainly not going to have the lows either. And I think that
Was the
consistency of a more less high event time when those guys are out on the ice will allow the top players to have more opportunity.
Well, that's actually exactly what Steve Staios said, you know, at
Hell
the
yeah.
little presser a couple last week, was that it's about a day, like, it's the work every day, getting better every day. It's about consistency. And that's kind of a la what you were talking about, is that it's not about, you know, just being great. It's about the work you do every day. And that's the problem with this team is, you know, we Jack Maltain would talk about it all the time last year. It's like we get too high and then we get too low, and we need to
Yep.
be in that middle and consistent. And I think that's what this team's lacked is maybe it's a bit of immaturity because the team was so young. You know, I'm not blaming 22-year-olds for getting emotional. That's kind of how it works, but just being kind of level and steady, right, with that team has just really not had the past couple years when they've been a pretty talented team that, you know, underachieved.
Could not agree more. It's just like that's I think what's most frustrating, Alex. You can see the talent, it
Oh,
just hasn't been able to come together.
exactly. I guess with the talent, like the going to the D core, because that's where I really get a bit worried with this team is the depth. I like the Kalen Addison, just like give it a run, see what he's like in camp. But how do you feel about this D core heading into the season that maybe on paper was better last year, maybe not as probably didn't fit as well as it does this year, but how do you feel about this D core with trading out Chychrun for Jensen, not really having a bottom pair left-hand defenseman? You can go Tyler Cleven, but he's only played a couple of games in the NHL. Just where you're at with that.
Yeah, I think they're different, but are they better? That's a question that's going to take time to answer. I think Nick Jensen is one of those stabilizers as well. So he's those guys where it's like less is more, and you might not hear their name as much on the broadcast as you do with a Jacob Chychrun, but that's not necessarily a bad thing when the left side of the D is where you have your horses, your Sanderson and Chabot. Like Chabot needs to stay healthy, and it sounds like he's finally gotten whatever's been bothering his wrist taken care of. That's critically important because I actually thought when he was healthy
He
last
was
year,
good.
I thought he had a really good year. Now, how much of that is less being asked of him? Like this guy, I tweeted it out recently. What the heck was it? I think from the time he entered the league, I know he holds the second and third most time in a single game, but his name is littered all over that it's not a good stat. People are like, oh, he plays the most. Like that's not good. That's
That was
bad.
so
And
dumb.
I'm surprised that, and maybe it has. Maybe that's what's caused this long-term damage. So hopefully he has been able to get healthy because, man, he's so talented. You think back to him in junior, and he's still the only defenseman to ever win World Juniors MVP. Only defenseman
So good.
ever.
Oh.
And he's got so much upside, and he's still only, what, 27? That should be the prime of his career. And we talk about him like he's Travis Hamonic. So there's another guy where it's like, he's your horse. You've paid this horse. Now let him run. And hopefully he can do that. Because remember when Guy Boucher was coaching, all the left side of the D-core, it was Mathot, it was Borowiecki, and it was Dion Phaneuf, not in that order. Those guys knew their role was to left wing lock, stand up at the blue line, create loose pucks so that the Chris Weidman, Cody Ceci, and Erik Karlsson of the world can move the puck on the right side. Now, at least, you have the right side of Jensen, Zub, and likely JBD, who are going to be that role that the left side used to be. So at least everybody knows their roles. And as a forward, you're going to be able to be more on top of, okay, they're rushing down the left side. Like if this puck gets loose, they're probably going to swing it to the right. So I think that even just that little bit of whether it's muscle memory or what, I think it could help. Now, maybe this is me just grasping at straws, but it just did not fit the way it was last year. And it was just awkward. And how many times were Chabot and Chychrun both on the left side in their own zone? And then you'd look and be like, why is somebody wide open over there? It just did not fit. So I'm happy that a lot of people are like, oh, they got fleeced on that trade. Yeah, you would have liked to have had a better than a third round pick coming back, especially after they had to give up a third round pick to get rid of Joseph. But like, Jensen for Chychrun, it doesn't look fair on paper, but I think with Ottawa already having Sanderson and Chabot, it makes a whole lot more sense to have Nick Jensen.
My only worry is just on the left side. It's not that I don't believe in Cleven as an NHLer. I just don't know if he's ready to be that full-time bottom
I'm
pair.
the opposite. I'm more concerned about JBD than I am
Okay.
about Tyler Cleven.
Maybe JBD was just like the best player to me in the locker room, so I have a bit of a soft spot for him. So maybe my bias is coming in, but I do agree. Like I thought he was that pairing with Chychrun just did not work last year. But That is true. They do have Hamonic, but I don't think he's going to play that much. They did bring in Addison, which is an interesting wrinkle because I could see him maybe being in that third pairing role. He's not really a defenseman.
No, he's not. He's gonna be your offenseman. Like he's no
Yeah.
defense. But at the same time, like I like that they're bringing in PTOs. If for nothing else, just letting JBD know, like this isn't your job. Like you're not walking in here and just taking this job.
No, I definitely agree with that. I guess what makes you so high on, or maybe not so high, but just a believer in Cleven outside that, he's mean and Pierre Dorion's, what was it? What did he say about Cleven that?
Oh, if he could just have one, if he could adopt a son or something like that, it
Yeah,
would be
something like
Tyler
that.
Cleven. Hilarious. Well, Cleven one, he comes from a fantastic family. I've had a chance to get to know them through our time at when I go down to North Dakota, and obviously his family's from Fargo, which is nearby to Grand Forks. And then we got to spend a little time both in Winnipeg and in Minnesota when Tyler was on the trip last year with the Sens, and they're good people. I think he was raised to be a tough, not take anything for granted, and I think he's just one of those low maintenance players that he hasn't really arrived yet, 8 games then 9 games, but what I do really expect to see more of from Cleven this year is using his body at the NHL level. We found out that he did this a lot more and more in the AHL as the season went along, but we haven't had one of those patented huge K train hits over the trolley tracks where you're looking and thinking it's an old school Anton Volchenkov hit. Like we haven't had that yet, but the moment I see that for the first time, I'm going to be convinced that that guy should never go back to Belleville.
And he has pretty good hands, honestly, for a guy
He
that's
does.
kind of labeled as that kind of just big, thick guy who
Oh,
hasn't
I can
really shown
rip the
that.
puck too.
Yep, exactly. So I my just worry is that if one of those top two defensemen go down, like what's left? And
That's fair.
that's
Yeah, I don't think Cleven's a guy you want yet playing in a top four at the NHL level. That's fair. But also, like, he's not that young anymore, right? Because he went to school for 3 years and then
what,
played that year.
23?
Like, he'll be 24 in January. Yeah, like
Wow.
during this, or sorry, he'll be 23 in January. But even still, like, you're a second round pick. Like, I think he should be expecting to make the jump at this point. He's gonna have to earn it. He doesn't need waivers, so they could send him down no problem. But I think that he's going to earn a spot. I'm just convinced. I think he's got the right mindset for it. And I think we're going to see him take that spot in preseason.
I mean, maybe the question is just about this decor isn't really about who's the 5-6 or how does Nick Jensen do? It's about is Jake Sanderson a Norris Trophy, maybe not contender, but kind of elevates himself to one of the best defensemen in the league. And I thought, he kind of struggled with as the team struggled midway through that season last year. But then at the end of the season, he really, I thought, took off, was scoring more. Offensively, you could really see him dazzle with his speed and his offensive game kind of coming around a little bit. Like, is he just he's my favorite send to watch in a lot of ways just because he's so fast, so smart, so big, just a pleasure to watch.
Couldn't agree more, man. It's like, there's so many of those guys though, right? Like it feels like they are, maybe I'm just a homer, I don't know.
No,
Feels
I don't
like
know.
I like a lot of their pieces, and that's why it puts me in a pretzel trying to figure out why they haven't been able to have success. I just don't understand it, really.
Do you think it's just maybe a losing culture?
Could
Because
be.
that's what I think.
Well,
Not
they've
that.
burned it down and built it back up, right? Like, how many guys are there from 2 years ago, from like an off-ice standpoint?
Oh, like nobody, almost nobody.
That's a thing.
Yeah, it's completely different. At least even when I saw people at on Wednesday, and you see kind of a couple coaches and everything, like it was very different. Like there are a couple similar faces, but even last year, what was interesting being around the team is that almost it was like every two like month or two, you just see, oh, there's a new face, there's a new face, there's a new face.
Yeah.
It kind of grew and grew as the season went on. And I think this year, like I mean, I haven't been around the team at training camp or anything, but I think that's what you'll see too, is like, whoa, it's like very, very everything's different. And I think in a good way, shout out to our boy Ian Mendes as well for taking the gig with the Sens too. So that'll be a fun sight. But I do think that this team, as you said, it's about kind of changing that culture. And culture is used way too much in sports. But if you lose consistently for years and years and years, it's hard to kind of get
And
out of
years and years and years.
it.
Been
And
a
you look at,
long time, dude.
and it's interesting because Allmark said, you know, he talked about his experience in Boston and in Buffalo, and Buffalo was like the worst team in the league when he was there. Like,
Yep.
well, that was the Taylor Hall year, I think, was his last year, which
I
is like a
think you're right.
crazy. And he talked about how he did feel it was a cultural thing. Like, you just get used to losing. And in Boston, it was the opposite. You just get used to winning, and that's the expectation. And it's interesting just hearing that. It's like, okay, like, you know, it is a thing. I don't know. He said that he thinks goalies can be leaders. I think so to some extent, but it's kind of hard to change how your team plays in front of you as a goalie. I don't know how you translate that, but overall, I think it is a bit of a culture. And I do think Travis Green seems like a smart guy. I don't want to hear one more thing that they're going to be in the best shape of their life
Oh, you
because
will. That's this time of year, baby. You gotta love it.
I will, but it's like, what else? It's like, nah, you can come in a couple pounds heavy. Don't worry. You'll burn it off.
Yeah.
No coach would ever say that, right? So yeah. Is there, I guess, what do you think, what needs to go right for this team if they're gonna take that step? And maybe you'll finally get that first playoff game, Locked On Sens playoff game against the Leafs. No, I'm kidding. But
Oh my God. Oh my God. What would be a successful season? Can I just say November? Like honestly, if they get past November and it's looking
so what,
good.
at 28 games, what does that record need to look like for you to be satisfied?
Right. Well, based on what I'm saying, they need to win 4 out of every 7, but I'd like it to be even more than that in a perfect world.
Like 16, 10, and
They
2.
need to be They need to be within 2 points of the final playoff spot, if not in it. I think I'm even setting the bar pretty low there that they can even be outside the playoffs at that point. Because if you look at their schedule, like I am right now, early on in the season, like there's a lot of winnable games, and there's a lot of games that you're gonna have to circle and say, hey, let's exercise some demons. Like that West Coast trip, the first one of the year.
Get
Like
that.
I already mentioned the record, 114-1 last year. West of the Eastern time zone. Well, guess what? The 6th, 7th, and 8th game of the season, you're at Utah, you're at Vegas, and you're at Colorado. Like those two last teams in particular are going to be tough tests, and you have to win at least one of those games. Like I can't have it where it's just like, oh, they're a good team, we're going to lose. Like whenever they play Carolina, Ottawa just guaranteed loss. Like they just need to exercise some of those demons, but I don't want it to come at the cost because if you look at the last couple of years, Ottawa's actually been really good against the Atlantic Division.
They
Like
have been.
against Toronto, Montreal, Detroit, Buffalo,
Buffalo.
even Boston, Ottawa was the only team to beat Boston twice 2 years ago when they were having their historic season. So, like, it's interesting because they just can't play the Western Conference. It's very interesting.
The th I don't want to talk about it because I feel like I'm jinxing it, but the fact that the World Juniors are in Ottawa and they have just like that 2 week long road trip, just like every year, like with Sweden last year, just one year, can they just get like a normal schedule? I just hope to God that happens one time. But I totally agree. I think, you know, going with that, my kind of worry a little bit, just you alluded to the how well they've done against the Atlantic Division, which I hope they do again, because that will be very, very imperative, with essentially none of the teams, I think, will be too bad this year. I think, you know, Detroit wants to obviously jump
Yep.
into the playoffs. Buffalo, just Buffalo, but they're a pretty talented team, very young, kind of similar to the Senators. And then obviously Montreal's taken some big steps. I still think talent wise they're probably the bottom feeder, but they're definitely much more improved than last season. How much of maybe the hurdle for this team this year will just be the fact that they're division is a gauntlet?
It's the toughest division in hockey. Like, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. I was talking to Luke Fox. He said, I think it, like, he was worried about the Leafs just because that's the toughest division for sure. I don't think that any.
Yeah, you can't even really argue it, can you? Like the Metropolitan, they've got probably more middling teams. Like the Islanders, what's Washington going to be with all those changes? Philadelphia probably wants to take a step forward, but in terms of top 5 goalies in the National Hockey League, what, at least two are in the
Close to goal?
Atlantic, and
No, okay.
No, well, no, because I'm looking, Saros and Hellebuyck aren't, and that would obviously swing things towards
But
the Central Division.
Vasilevskiy, you
But
could say
yeah.
Swayman and Ullmark are top eight or something in the
Well, and
league.
Vasilevskiy right there, and
Yeah.
then we're also missing out on
Bobrovsky.
Bobrovsky, who just was unbelievable. Like those four goalies in the division are like that's a gauntlet just in of itself.
Yeah. No, it's gonna be a bloodbath. I wonder what that changes for just like the points that the teams need to get into the playoffs. Both divisions, in the Eastern Conference itself, but just because all the teams are really competitive, like outside of maybe Columbus and even before the tragic passing of Johnny Gaudreau, like they were probably the only team that was going to be pretty bad, and everyone else was going to be like at least competitive. And I wonder if we look back, into the season, and it's like the team making the last playoff spot has like 90 points because everyone's just in that mushy middle. What do you think about that?
That's interesting because I mean they're all going to kind of play each other and excuse me, battle it out, but I just don't want any excuses. I think just play the games on your schedule, win more of them, and you'll be fine. Like I know that's a very basic way of looking at it, Alex, but we just for year after year we're always thinking like 2 years ago I said Boston was going to be the team that missed the playoffs. They have a historic season, so who am I to
They don't
predict?
have a goalie though. Right now, they don't have a
Yeah,
goalie.
Corpy's their starter.
Corpy's their starter. We need to see that Korpisalo start against the Sens, and I just can see him just being unbelievable and getting like a 45 save shutout. I
It
don't
would
know.
be so sense.
It would be so sense. Before I let you go, is there anything you kind of want to? And thanks so much for taking the time and doing this. Is there anything you want to plug for your
No,
show?
not at all, man. I just want to plug the Behind the Play
Well,
podcast.
thank
This is
you.
awesome, Alex. Really appreciate what you're doing and love that you're in the mix at practice and all that now covering the team. So, no, keep up the great work. We're always happy to join you. Hopefully, Pilsy does great with you, just a little bit less than me.
Just a
But
little bit
jokes
less.
aside, no, we love to see what you're doing and continued success. And I'm sure we'll be chatting again soon down the road.
Well, thank you so much. And you guys have been such a huge help in my career and for this podcast and everything. So I'm forever indebted to you guys. It just
No, you're good,
I'm
man.
very thankful to you guys, but I'm also you guys are succeeding for a reason, and it's awesome to see. And I feel like every month it's like, oh, you're at like 9,000 subscribers or like 8,000 subscribers. So it's you guys are you're getting up there, and it's great to see. So thank you so much for taking the time talking some sense, and hopefully we can talk about a playoff team. That's
Ooh.
it's been too long. It's been too long.
That's the goal.
Were you still at Lisgar when the Sens made the playoffs? I'm kidding.
No, come on. Basically, I was actually at Lisgar when they made the Stanley Cup final. So maybe I got to go back, do a little Billy Madison.
Oh my God. Now I feel young.
Oh,
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Ross. Everyone, check out the Locked On Senators podcast, the best Sens podcast out there, and we'll do this again.
thank you very much.